the Japanese are looking at what's happening in Europe, in the UK, in France, and Italy, and the migration issues, and they very much don't want that to happen in Japan. There is a feeling that Japan's unique and fragile culture is possibly under threat.
Sakaiuchi is refreshingly unwoke,
very much pro-family. She's been called an anti-feminist. Perhaps Kemi Badenoch could have a word with her and say, well, how do you revive a seemingly moribund brand? Takeuchi's managed to do it.
Hello, I'm Georgina Mumford, and I'm delighted to be joined today by journalist and lecturer at Sophia University, Philip Patrick. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you.
Philip, this is a really interesting moment for Japan politically, not least because Prime Minister Senai Takaichi's party just won a landslide victory in a snap election called earlier this month. Takaichi herself has cultivated quite an interesting public persona. She's known as Japan's Iron Lady. She's a big fan of Margaret Thatcher. She's a heavy metal drummer. Could you tell us a bit more about that public image that she's got?
Takaichi is Japan's first female prime minister, and she's 64 years old. She's either a staunch conservative patriot or an ultra-nationalist far-right threat to the world, depending on your political perspective. But she's been extremely successful since becoming prime minister last October in kind of projecting a dynamic, positive, even fun image, which worked wonders in the snap election, which was a risky strategy for her. And as you say, she's won a supermajority, which means she has almost complete power to do what she wants. So it's going to be an exciting time, I think, for Japanese politics.
And Takaichi's taken quite a tough stance on immigration, despite the fact that historically Japan's had very low numbers of immigration. Why do you think this issue has kind of come to the forefront now, despite those low numbers?
Well, I've been in Japan for 25 years, and when I came to Japan, I think the number of foreigners in Japan was about 1%. It's now about 4%, which is still quite low, but I think the rapid increase has alarmed people in Japan. And I think one reason for that is foreigners in Japan have a much higher visibility than they used to have. And partly this is simply because there are so many tourists in Japan. I mean, you'd be amazed walking around the center of Tokyo now with so many foreigners. And I think this has kind of disturbed Japanese people, alarmed Japanese people. And there is a feeling that Japan's unique and delicate, fragile culture is possibly under threat. Whether it really is or not, I'm not sure, but it's the pace of change, I think, the pace of the increase, although overall numbers are still quite low, and the concentration of foreigners. Okay, so they're all in the same places. So you go to certain places and you see a large number of foreigners, and it's sort of disturbing Japanese a bit. And there's kind of rumors of foreigners taking all the jobs and foreigners behaving badly. And a lot of this is just sort of urban myth. And I'm not sure how much truth there is to it, really. But it's kind of disturbed the Japanese. And that's why it's sort of come to the fore as an electoral issue.
Because we see Japan as quite an insular society. Do you think any of this has come from looking at the West and the conversations we're having about immigration and anxiety from that preemptively? Or is it sort of just internal things that are going on?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Japanese are looking at what's happening in Europe and the kind of problems in the UK and France and Italy and the migration issues. And they very much don't want that to happen in Japan. Japan is, because of its geographical location, we don't have a problem with small boats, but there is a big problem with an aging society and a low birth rate. And so Japan needs either more babies or immigration. And all attempts to sort of kickstart and improve the birth rate have failed. So inevitably, the numbers of foreigners coming into work has increased. And Yes, this has disturbed the harmony of Japanese society, shall we say. And Takaichi has taken a hard line on it, and she's going to introduce a policy package, which is probably going to make it more difficult for people to come to Japan and more difficult for people to stay in Japan, although we don't know the exact ramifications of it yet.
And Takaichi's also taken a tougher stance on China, particularly in regards to Taiwan. How significant has that shift been?
Well, she's changed the mood, I think, and I think it benefited her. She made a dramatic statement in October implying that if China invaded Taiwan, then Japan would take military action. Whether that actually would happen or not is debatable, but whether Japan could do anything militarily is debatable. But the fact that she said it sent shockwaves into China, and China responded very aggressively. And it's fair to say that Sino-Japanese relations are extremely difficult at the moment. But I think, I mean, some people said it was reckless of her to say that. I think even President Trump kind of told her to walk it back a bit, which she didn't. But I think overall it benefited her because it was interpreted in Japan as, well, we're standing up for ourselves at last. And it kind of discombobulated the Chinese because they didn't really know how to respond. And the ball really is in China's court now, in terms of initiating any kind of rapprochement after this.
And economically, Japan has struggled with stagnation for decades. Takaichi's taken a bit more of a radical approach. Could you explain what she's doing and maybe what the risks of that might be?
Well, I've got to be cautious. I'm not an expert on macroeconomics, but she's got a quite ambitious stimulus package, which works out at about £100 billion, I think. The centerpiece of which is she's planning to suspend the sales tax on food, which is currently 8%. So she wants to reduce that to 0, I think, for 2 years, which would potentially be extremely expensive for the Japanese exchequer. But her argument, similar argument to this trust, was that if you cut taxes, you will stimulate the economy and people will spend the money elsewhere. It's a bit of a gamble, but obviously it's popular because living standards have been declining in Japan. Inflation, which is a nightmare to the Japanese because prices traditionally don't go up at all in Japan ever. So if they go up slightly, it kind of traumatizes the nation. And in the last few years, prices have been going up. So that's become a huge issue. So she's got this ambitious, wide-ranging and very expensive stimulus package planned, including tax cuts and government investment in AI and industry and various things. But the markets, you maybe heard that the markets kind of lurched, just as they did with Liz Truss's mini budget. And bond yields spiked a few weeks ago just at the prospect of this package of measures being introduced. So we'll see what happens, but she is apparently going ahead with it in the next few weeks. I think it should be settled.
And finally, Philip, I wanted to ask you, are there any lessons that Western leaders might take away from Takaichi's electoral success?
Yes, I think there are. I mean, Takaichi is refreshingly unwoke, I think. I mean, it's amazing in Japan how little fuss there was about her being the first female prime minister, you know, in Japanese history. It really wasn't remarked upon very much. And she didn't talk about it very much. And she's very much pro-family. She's been called an anti-feminist. She's against same-sex marriage, even lots of controversial positions, which would possibly make you a non-starter in the West, but she's popular. She's apparently very popular with young people. So I think one lesson is that if you're just honest about your position and you have conservative views, but you don't apologize for them, you can still pick up support from young people. So I think possibly the lesson from Taika Takeuchi is that young people perhaps are getting a little bit bored with the woke message, and they're ready for something else, something more conservative, something more traditional. I mean, Japan is a less, I suppose, progressive country than others, but it's still a feature of Japanese society, and Takeuchi has not pandered to it at all, and it hasn't made any difference. She's prospered. So there's maybe a lesson there. Also, one final point, maybe she's the head of the LDP, the Liberal Democratic Party, which isn't really liberal democratic or really even a party. It's sort of a group of conservative factions. But it was a brand much like the Tories in the UK, which was very much on decline. Some people said it was even moribund because it was so scandal-racked and so unpopular, and it was going down and down. And she's managed to revive it. So as I said in a Spectator article, perhaps Kemi Badenoch could have a word with her and say, well, how do you revive a seemingly moribund brand? Takeuchi's managed to do it. So there could be lessons there.
Philip Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Georgina.